Good morning. Great to see everyone. A warm welcome to everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. We will each and every one be blessed by being here. Special welcome to anyone visiting our church today. It's good to see you with us. And you will also receive a huge blessing by being here. Welcome. Good to see everyone. Today, within the church calendar, it has two titles. There are two specialities about today. The first one, which is, it is Ascension Sunday. And that means that on Thursday of the week just passed, that was the day in which we commemorate and think about the ascension of Christ into heaven. So it's Ascension Sunday. Now I can't think what the other one is. What else is it? What's today? Hey, Mother's Day. And so this is the day when we honour, we celebrate and we give thanks to the Lord for our mums and for the part that they have played in our lives, the very positive part that they have played in our lives, and especially that part where those mums drew us to Christ, and that was a very important part. So we praise the Lord for mums and for their influence in our lives. And for now, that's all from me. I'm sure you'd rather listen to Sandra.
Good morning. I have several announcements. I'll do the most important ones first that have to do with food. So Marge McKinnon told me that there are goodies after church today, but they've been in the freezer, and so she wanted me to warn you that they might be a little bit hard, so don't break a tooth. The Dog Pound Bluebirds wanted me to mention their spring supper, Thursday, May 16th, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Dog Pound Community Center. So that's Thursday, May 16th for that. All right. There's advance notice in the bulletin of our grad recognition that will take place at the church picnic on June 16th. And it should be at the Big Prairie Hall. Our graduates are Ashley Reed, J.J. DeWind, Jesse Reed, and Jessica Perverisov. Next Sunday, May 19th, is Pentecost Sunday. And if you have some red, it's fun to wear it on that day. Also, that's the day that we will be doing any baptisms for adults that wish to be baptized or rebaptized. And talk to Ian or one of the elders if you're interested in doing that. And May 19th is also the Global Day of Prayer. And there's a prayer schedule available in the foyer, and it breaks down, you know, a prayer to do each day leading up to the day of prayer. Those are all my announcements. Are there any further announcements this morning? Thank you.
Regarding baptisms next Sunday, I think you're all aware that it doesn't have to be a first time for you. I think many of us were baptized when we were babies. And perhaps when we got to around about 12 or 13 or something like that, we went through confirmation. But when we reach the great age that we are all at now, we realise that when we were 12 or 14 or whatever, we didn't really know too much. And many people feel that when they are now an adult, that they would like to express their great love for the Lord Jesus Christ by an adult baptism. And that's what it is. We will not be bringing a big bathtub in and dunking you under the water. So anyone, let me know. If you would like to have a baptism or a rebaptism next Sunday, what I want you to do is just write your full name on a piece of paper and give it to me after the service. And next Sunday, we'll get you done. So there you go. So you've seen it happen. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. If you would feel that that's what you would like to do. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Within our gospel reading this morning, we will hear Jesus, who has just prayed for his disciples. And then he prays for all believers, and this is his prayer. My prayer is not for them alone, the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We believe. We worship the Lord with our approach choruses, and I would invite our men's group to come on up here and lead us in our worship.
Last time we were up here, it was the three tenors, but one of them is missing, so it's two tenors and a big Dutch guy. So. But what we're going to do is sing some of the choruses that we've done before and that you know very well. So please join us, rise and join us in singing the choruses. And the first one, Grant, is Be Unto Your Name.
Oh,
Okay, finally, we're going to do a round, which we've done before. It's called Sing Praise to the Father, and we're going to split you up and make you all work for this one. So we'll sing it through once, and then I'll take the middle group. What were we doing second?
You? I'll go second. Y'all are with me. Okay.
And Yakko's going to lead this side. So our starting note.
Sing praise to the Father, praise to the Son, sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise to the Spirit, three in one, sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise to the Father, praise to the Son, sing praise to the Father, praise to the Son, sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise to the Spirit, three in one, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise to the Spirit, three in one. Sing praise, sing
praise to the Son. Sing praise, sing
praise to the Son. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise to the Spirit, three in one. Sing praise, sing praise.
To the two tenors and the big Dutchman. And in that round I was so happy I was standing next to Sandra, because I followed her. She kept me right. That's not to say I couldn't follow Howard, but I could hear Sandra clearly, and it dragged me through the whole thing. Do you see anything different up here today apart from me? Look at these. Aren't they great? Our Ladies Christian Fellowship have worked so hard in this past week. They were here at the crack of dawn, probably before dawn cracked, and they were working away at these banners, and I never believed that they would be ready for today, but they are. Ladies, thank you. Good job. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's... what it does for our sanctuary, and you know, the work that they're putting in with these banners, it's just tremendous, and we really do appreciate it. So right now, shall we bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here. We each come to you today, Lord, and each of us have within our hearts our own little praise items. We all have something from this past week we are thankful for, and we are happy to be here, Lord, to be with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be surrounded by your love which fills this place, and to be able to come to you, Lord, our God, our Father, and to worship you. So much to be thankful for on this day especially. We think about our mums. We think about the positive influence that they have been on our lives, and some still have their mums with them, Lord, and are thankful for everything that they do for them right now, in so many big ways, in so many small ways, in so many ways, Lord, that we can never number. But we thank you, Father, that you gave to us the mum that you gave us, and we are just grateful and thankful. On this special day of Ascension, Lord, we remember the day when our Lord Jesus Christ ascended to you, Lord, to a Father in heaven, and we thank you that he didn't leave us alone, but sent to us the blessed Spirit, the Spirit which is with us today. And so by your Spirit, Lord, we worship you. We worship you in the name of Jesus. We come because Jesus called us to come, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture readings this morning are from Revelation 22. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Please join me now in our responsive reading from Psalm 97. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones, and he delivers them from the hands of the wicked. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name.
So we come to that blessed time in our church service when we celebrate Holy Communion. And as I always say, and I always will say, everyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ is welcome to participate in this celebration of his love for us. We begin our communion with singing the hymn out of the Red Book, 255 in the Red, We Remember You.
Join me in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this, thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of his blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
Would the elders come and join me, please? You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God.
This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was broken for you to preserve you unto everlasting life. Take, eat, and be thankful. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And this is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me, and we remember his precious gift for us. We are thankful. We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, for this blessed communion we give you thanks. And we ask that by your body and that by your blood that we may be made strong in your spirit. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. The immense group are now going to further lead us in our worship with special music. And I heard a snippet earlier on, and I'm excited. The two tenors and the big Dutchman. Mr. B.
one.
Okay, while Jakob's getting his glasses, we'll, I'll introduce the song. This is a song that's probably very well known to just about everybody, Alleluia, which was written by Leonard Cohen. He had his own set of words. And then subsequently, this particular song has been used by a number of people and modified to suit the setting, the context. Phil and Nicole did this a couple of years ago, and it really struck me at the time what a beautiful adaptation of this was. And then last week, Sandra and Caleb did it on the guitar. So it's kind of, I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks as something we could do for men's group. So here it is. It's Alleluia, and it's essentially the Easter version or the Easter story.
Oh,
The glasses do it, Jaco. Good man. Wasn't that great? We are so thankful to our men's group for that, the approach choruses and that beautiful special music that they sang for us. Who wrote that, Phil? Who wrote those words? Philip? Who wrote those words? Oh, okay. Well, we certainly appreciate what she did there. I know Leonard Cohen wrote the original, but they're not the original words. They are there, shall we say, the more Christian version. Thank you. Good job. We appreciate it. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace, for your goodness, and for your joy in our lives. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring our gifts, humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Lord, to accept the gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children are now going to go out to their Sunday school. And whilst that is happening, we will prepare ourselves to stand and sing to God's glory the hymn 127, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. And we sing three verses, verses 1, 4 and 5.
Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy home. should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary.
So we come to our time of prayer. I said at the beginning of the service, when we came here today, I think all of us have within our hearts and within our lives praise items from this week which has passed. I know not everything in our lives is praise. Things happen that we wish didn't happen, but they did anyway. But we are, praise the Lord, that He is there for us at all times and in all circumstances, and he brings us through when things are tough. But I'm sure we all have things to be thankful for. And in our own private prayers, we give thanks, grateful thanks. We offer our prayers for the people, the many people that we know of who are in need of our prayers at this time. And there are quite a few of our church family who need some prayers for us at this time, and we know who they are, you know who they are, and I'm sure that you are presenting your own prayers for them. Just want to make a quick reference to this leaflet, this little bulletin here, which is the Global Day of Prayer, which is next Sunday. And next Sunday we, as part of our prayer time, will join with churches throughout the world, all denominations, and we will be offering a prayer, the same prayer that we will all offer, a responsive prayer, which will be part of our service. And this little leaflet is a 10-day lead-up to next Sunday. So we're now partly into it. And as part of our prayer today, I will use that which is from day 4, where we are guided on the type of things we should be praying for on each of these 10 days in the lead-up to the Global Day of Prayer. If you haven't got one of these leaflets, please pick one up. It's very worthwhile being part of something which is part of the whole world. You know, and sometimes we feel insignificant, but we're not. Put us all together, and we are powerful because we are in the prayer, in the Word of God. So pick one of these up and use it for your prayer time. And so we come once again to the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Lord, we praise you for your great love towards us. We thank you for all of the promises that you have made to us and for the many gifts that you grant to us for the living of our days. We remember, Lord Jesus, how you prayed for us, that we might be one with you and with one another. Help us, Lord, to realize your presence with us now in this special time of prayer. As we speak with you, Father, may we be sensitive to your word as you speak with us. May we be alive to your spirit as you inspire us to be the people that you want us to be. And we pray, Lord, and we ask that we may be worthy representatives of your presence here on earth. As we thank you for your presence with us, Lord, we have in our minds and in our thoughts those who are not here with us today. We rejoice, Lord, that we are able to gather as a church family, And we thank you again, Father, for your gracious and wonderful loving spirit that is with us as we come together in this place. And so we think again, Father, of those who are not here. We see their empty places. And in our minds, we can see them. And we see their smiles. And wherever they may be at this time, Lord, whatever their circumstances may be, we pray that they may know and feel your grace and your presence with them. And that they may know that we, their friends, are praying for them. For those who are sick, in body, in spirit, in mind, we pray, Lord, for your healing presence with them and the uplifting of their spirits, that you will grant to them your blessed peace. We pray in silence. We pray, Holy Father, for your blessed church throughout the world, for your church to proclaim the undiluted and uncompromising truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that there is no salvation but in his name. We pray, Lord, for Christians to be strengthened in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, for deceptions to be exposed, and for ignorances to be removed. We thank you again, Father, for our own church family. And as we think of our church family, Lord, we pray for all of our own families. We know that everyday life is often a roller coaster of many different emotions. But we are thankful, Lord, that our love for one another binds us closely together. And when we also have your wonderful love for us intertwined within our own family unit, then we have that wonderful and great stability of faith upon which our whole life is founded and upon which, Lord, we know that we stand firm. Lord, we ask you to grant us your peace and to hear our prayer, Lord. Bless us as we go forward into a new week. Grant us the grace of your presence and the wonder of your peace as we face whatever life situations present before us. Father, we ask you to hear our prayers, our spoken prayers, and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. For we come to you and we pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
When Margaret asked me to do the reading this week, she figured out my voice would be all warmed up by now, so at least. Anyway, our first reading is St. Luke 24:44-53, the Ascension of Our Lord. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And our second reading is from John 17, 20 to 26, all one in Christ Jesus. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
That's quite a complicated scripture. Hopefully we can expand upon it a little bit when I get to the message. But thank you, Howard, for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. 259, we stand and sing to God's glory. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My message title this morning comes from that lectionary gospel reading that Howard did so manfully read for us and got through it, and all those strange words that would kind of all seem jumbled together. And that that scripture reading is part of what is known as Jesus' high priestly prayer, which he prayed in the upper room on the night of his betrayal, when he was only hours away, really, from his crucifixion. But before I get to that, I think I would never be forgiven if I did not spend just a little time on the major theme of this day, which is Mother's Day. Got to mention Mother's Day or I get lynched. So, a panel of experts was asked to complete some sentences about their mums. And what made these people experts was they all had one thing in common. They were all in kindergarten. Here are the sentences and the most popular or best answer to each one. So first of all, think about what your answer would be. My mom is best at. My mom is best at. And the best answer was riding a two-wheeler. Do you think of that one? No, I bet you didn't. Next question. If I had enough money, I'd buy my mum, best answer, a big pack of bubble gum. There you go. Get working on that, mum. It makes me feel good inside when mum says, and the best answer was, come on, I'll buy you something. And this next one's a great one. My mum is as pretty as a clean horse. What more could you want, mums? What more could you want? And there were many other answers to these same questions here. Now, another interesting list that I came across was of things that you would never hear a mother say. Things a mom would never say. Here we go. How on earth can you see the television sitting so far back? Oh, just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. Well, if Lucy's mom says it's okay, that's good enough for me. This curfew thing, well, it's just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison round here or anything. And finally, great one. I'm sorry, I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. Well, someone has to make sure that we all survive childhood, isn't that so? And that task falls to our mum. And we're all thankful to our own mums for getting us through all those perils of childhood. And quite frankly, I can't imagine a better lesson for Mother's Day than the one which begins like this. And these are the words of Jesus. If anyone loves me, they will obey. If anyone loves me, they will obey. That's what Christ says. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. What an amazing promise that is, that the Lord Jesus Christ makes to each and every one of us. There are many places in the scriptures where Jesus makes promises to those who believe in him. But the passage today from John chapter 17 is the only section of the gospel where Jesus specifically refers to us, to you, to me, and to all current believers. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. And just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. takes a little bit of digesting. Read it again when you get home. Ask the Lord to open your heart and your mind to these words, because this is the only place where Jesus prays specifically for you, for me, and for all we believers. Jesus did many things. He taught much, but he only prayed once for those who would believe in him because of the words of his followers. And again, that's you, because of the word that you pass on to other people about him. And isn't that the reason why we all believe that Christ is God with us, that he is the Messiah, that he is our Savior? Because we believe in the words that those disciples spread about him and on down through the ages. And his prayer that we would all be one, and that we would be in God, in Christ, in the Spirit, so that the world may believe that God the Father has sent him. He's counting on you and I. God the Father came to us as God the Son and remains with us as God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity. And this is what we believe, and this is what sustains us. That's why we're here. And there is much more to the prayer that Jesus prayed, much more for us in that same prayer. Jesus prays that the love of God the Father for him, as God loves him, may be in us. That he himself, the Lord Jesus, may be in us. And that prayer of Jesus is answered in us today. When we walk through those doors, we feel such a joy to be here. We love this place, as that little kitty cat on the wall says out there, I just love this place. We love this place. Why do we love this place? Because this place is filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And how is it filled with the Spirit? Because that Spirit is within us. And we bring that Spirit in, and that Spirit we share with others. We hug, we shake hands. We rejoice in one another's presence because we are in the very presence of God. And so what Jesus prayed for us at that time is fulfilled. Right here today, he prayed for us in that upper room on the very night that he was betrayed, when he was preparing himself to die on the cross. He thought about us. He prayed that we might be in complete unity, so that in that unity we might let the world know that he has come and he is sending us to deliver that love to the world. Ben Kingsley starred as the main character in the movie Gandhi. Don't know how many of you saw it, but I'm sure you got a pretty good idea of what Gandhi was about. And Ben Kingsley spent months preparing for this role by visiting the various Indian locations that Gandhi had frequented. And he even learned to spin cotton thread on a wooden wheel while holding conversations with other people. He really wanted to play the part of Gandhi. And people said that the physical resemblance between Gandhi and Kingsley was startling. After filming a village scene south of Delhi, Kingsley stepped out of a car and an elderly peasant actually knelt to touch his feet. And embarrassed, Kingsley explained that he was merely an actor playing the part of Gandhi. "We know," replied the villager, "but through you, he will surely live again. Through you, he will surely live again." And you see, that's also part of Jesus' prayer for us, that the world will see Christ in us
through our unity, through our love for one another, through our love for the world, how we treat people, how we cope with life, the ups and downs of life. Does the Lord Jesus Christ live through you? And if you want to read all that stuff that's on the screen now, it's out in the foyer if you want to read it. It's right there. But it is when we have a relationship with God through Christ our Saviour that He is then able to live and to work through us, through that relationship. And it is this relationship which makes life complete. Without that relationship, there is a void in people's lives. And there have been many eminent people who have testified to the void in their lives. For example, H.G. Wells, famous historian and philosopher, and at the age of 61, he said, "I have no peace. All life is at the end of the tether. I have no peace." His description of the void that he felt in his life. The poet Byron said, "My days are in yellow leaf. The flowers and fruits of life are gone. The worm and the canker and the grief are mine alone." The words of a man who had a great emptiness in his life. The literary genius Henry David Thoreau said, "Most men live lives of quiet desperation." Wow. What a terrible way to live. What a terrible way to have a life of all these people living their lives without Christ. And because of that, their lives, there's a great big void there. And they know, they don't know what the void is because they don't know Christ. But they know that there is something great and mighty missing from their lives. The church and the gospel it proclaims are never just some local event. Despite our denominational differences and the lack of formal unity we may have across the face of God's church today, across the whole world, the fact is that in every little hamlet where a tiny congregation gathers in the name of the risen Christ, in every soaring cathedral where hundreds of people gather, in every mega church that packs in people by the thousands, and in every little house church, even in those little countries or big countries where official church gatherings are often banned, in and through and across all, something quite amazing is happening, is going on in the world. The revelation of a mystery of divine love that dates back to way before the beginning of creation of the world. And that wonderful thing that is going on will continue to go on into a future which at some point this same mighty God of ours is going to say, "Behold, I make all things new." Let no one convince us that the church is mostly about bake sales or vacation Bible schools or committee meetings. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I have given them the glory that you have given me." We have the glory of God the Father with us. In our little hamlets, in our mighty cathedrals, every time we come together in His name, we have God's glory. Jesus prayed, "We have God's glory given to us by Christ our Saviour." Is it any wonder we feel good when we walk through those doors, surrounded by the glory, the very glory of God? No wonder we feel good. And that is our message to the world, a message worth savouring again and again and even forevermore. We have here in Jesus' prayer the Father, the Son, who are one in each other, and Jesus asks for you and I that they may also be in us. So we have the Holy Trinity. We have the Father, we have the Son, we have God's Holy Spirit. And because of Jesus' prayer, you and I can add to that, and me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and me. And for this we say, thanks be to God. Amen. We sing now to God's glory, a simple little hymn that we learnt to sing in Sunday school. Nevertheless, the truth of that hymn still bears with us. 579, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
People in this place live his goodness.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.